This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective with three fans who know how to talk some trash.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Ajay Salveson.
I'm feeling such an odd mixture of pride and mortal terror.
There is a creature alive today who has survived millions of years of evolution without change, without passion, and without logic.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash. It's Dave Denton. Coming up in just a few seconds, we'll be joined by Ajay. Ajay and I will be talking about the upcoming pay-per-view, The Clash of Champions. Not only are we going to be talking about that, we're going to be talking about movies, we're going to be talking about some incredible stuff that happened to the women's division in a Muslim country, and then we'll be joined by Chris Evans. We'll have another Chris on the mat. Zane joins us. I catch him up because he hasn't been able to watch very much lately, and I catch him up what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. You hang around. You'll catch up. You'll have some fun. This is Turnbuckle Trash.
This is Turnbuckle Trash. Zane Peterson.
You're the greatest guy in the whole galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a real class act.
Now we'll get tonight.
Ajay Salveson.
The juice is loose.
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 Dave Denton.
Man, you don't want no bread. You don't want no salad. All he wants is meat.
It's time to take out the trash.
Let's show him what we got, guys.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
And a very holiday-y welcome to you, Turnbuckle Trash listeners. So good to have you. Ajay Salveson there. Dave Denton here. Have you ever watched The Office?
No.
Are you kidding me?
No, I never have.
You watch all these garbage shows like The Arrow and Flash Me and all that stuff, but you will not watch something as golden as The Office. Shame on you, Dave. Shame on you.
Shame on me.
Shame on you.
Just because, well, did you know that there
was one
of the guys in The Office, I'm trying to remember his name, was a member of a rock and roll band in the 60s?
Creed? 70s. He's the oldest one out of all those guys.
Yeah, he was in the Grassroots.
No kidding?
Yeah, no kidding.
So that would explain his scene when he was playing the guitar and he was rocking it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Grassroots were an excellent band.
I had no idea. Pop band. Hey, happy holidays to everyone there and around as we approach the Christmas season and the end of the new year.
The end of the new year?
Oh, wait. Sorry. The end of an era.
An old year.
An old year.
I know about old year.
Another old year. Another Dave Denton has gone and came.
That's right, baby.
Came and gone.
Whatever. Man,
really quickly before we get into it, really, I just want to send my condolences out to Dave Denton, who his sister passed away recently. He'll be attending a funeral. So, Dave, our thoughts and condolences to you and yours. And
well, it was fine. She had been ill for quite a while. She was my oldest sister, and she had been living in an assisted living center in Lemoore, California, for about the last 6 months. And we knew it was going to come at some point or another, and that's, honestly, Juice, it's part of life.
It is.
We all have that happen to us. It's still doesn't mean I'm not going to miss my sister. It doesn't mean I don't love her to death, but it is part of life that we all have to go through, and I appreciate your sentiments, the way you reacted when I texted you. It was very heartwarming. Thank you thank you very much.
And that's on behalf of all of us, Turnbuckle Trash listeners. Speaking of California, we also want to send our thoughts and prayers out to those who are in the midst of that horrendous fire going on, fires, I should say.
Fires.
It's like people are enthralled by like the TV and the movie of itself, or at least the image of it burning. But you're not in California being evacuated from your home in December, 2 weeks before Christmas. Like, I mean, I know it looks cool, but it's threatening to the lives of people around in California. And we just want to send our hearts and thoughts and prayers out to you guys. And
over 200,000 people were evacuated. Hundreds and hundreds of structures, thousands and thousands of acres.
And you know what the crappy part about it is, Dave? Is it's no human's fault. We have no one to blame. There's no one to blame for these fires. Like, no, I mean, for, as far as I know, no one is taking a... Go ahead.
Well, there was one fire in Bel Air that destroyed six homes that was caused by a homeless encampment, an illegal campfire.
No kidding.
Yeah, but I think they have that one under control, so...
But still, I mean, you can't just, like, go arrest Mother Nature. Like, there's just no possible way. And so... I wish we could help. Well, I mean, I guess we can help, but I wish we could control what Mother Nature is doing right here, but we just can't. I'll tell you what, Mother Nature has owned 2017.
Unreal.
I mean, it is just, pounded
world
us.
World champion.
We're ready to move on from Mother Nature. That's for at least from 2017, that's for sure. So speaking of 2017, we're approaching the end of the year, and Clash of Champions, SmackDown.
Yeah.
Sponsored event 2017 will be December 17th or 16th. Yeah, 17th. 19th. Excuse 19th, me. Sorry.
Yes.
December 19th at the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. I love Boston. Love Boston. And their crowd is really fun. Their crowd is really good there. So
it'll be fun.
Boston is going to be the host of the final pay per view event of the year. And then we'll start a new season. We'll get ready for the road to WrestleMania. And there could be some short storylines shaken up from Clash of Champions that will affect what the road to WrestleMania is going to look like.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. SmackDown was on Tuesday, December 12th at the Bank City Arena in Cincinnati, Ohio. Good show. It started off with a little bit of AJ Styles addressing Jinder Mahal. They'll face each other for a title match in the TD Square Garden.
And weren't Lindy and Squeaky there, too?
The
Singh brothers,
And you know that at some point they'll have a hand in that match one way or another.
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Jinder attacked the Singh brothers, and they came out this week and said, we're going to be in the corner with AJ Styles. And AJ doesn't believe them, so he hit one of the, he either hit Lenny or Squeaky, and then he headbutted the other one, so...
Styles is awesome in the ring. In fact, he's being very well responded to by the crowd. The crowd was great.
One thing about that, when AJ was on the mic, he called the Singh brothers Dingleberries.
Yes.
I love it.
I wish you would have called them Wachobies.
Yeah, why?
Kick call them Wachobies.
No, kick them in their Dingleberries.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah!
Crowd chanting Jinder sucks. Crowd chanting AJ Styles.
I think AJ is such a professional, and Jinder, you know, he has some limitations. He's a good heel. He's a very good heel. I think AJ can and make this a really interesting, very good match.
In fact, you know, we'll get predictions at the end of the show. Yep, how about that? Okay. Yep. And then we had a Divas match. Charlotte Flair going one on one with Ruby Riott. Of course, Charlotte Flair will be facing Natalya, who is a ringside for that match. She'll be facing Natalya for the Divas Championship in a lumberjack match, actually, which will be kind of fun. I love lumberjack matches.
Oh, I do, too.
Love lumberjack matches.
Because, you know, at some point, everybody's involved. Yeah, the Riott Squad and Tamina, Lana, Naomi, and Carmella are all going to be out there.
So along with Ruby was Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan.
Liv Morgan is hot. I know I'm an old man.
Can we get that as a drop?
Maybe so.
Just the way you said it. I want that as a drop. I'm going to send it to Scotty G.
Gee, thanks.
After Flair got the win, Natalya came in, got in her face. Flair hits Natalya, then starts taking out the Riott Squad once again before Natalya turns around, comes back into the ring, and clotheslines Flair. Then stands over. And that was it.
Okay.
Natalia Flair coming up, Divas title. Again, we'll do our predictions at the end.
Lumberjack.
So winner by disqualification, of course, is Charlotte Flair, thanks to the Riot Squad. By the way, just a teaser here. Do you think that the Riot Squad will have any interference in Natalia versus Charlotte Flair? Am I way off base?
Do I think? I am positive.
Okay.
What
it could lead to after will be kind of interesting, too,
yeah,
based on how the match
ends.
Then we had Baron Corbin, Dolph Ziggler. I am loving this little feud. Corbin and Ziggler. Are you a fan of Corbin and Ziggler or no?
Yes. I think, and then you add the element of Bobby Roode involved.
Yes, yes, on commentary.
I'm loving that.
Really? Do you like Bobby Roode on the...
Oh, well, I liked it on commentary, and then they're getting ready for a Fatal 3-Way at Clash of Champions with all three of them in the ring.
It's gonna be fun.
I think it's going to be... That might be the match of the night. I mean, you've got two of the best workers in the business in Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode, and then you've got the physical presence of the lone wolf, Baron Corbin. I think that might steal the show.
So Ziggler and Corbin go at it for a little bit. Corbin talks some trash to Roode. Corbin shoves him off, charges, but then Ziggler sidesteps him, plays dodgeball with him. Corbin hits the ring post, of course.
Are you talking about his Wachobies again?
Yeah. Wachobies. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn.
Good storyline.
Occupy SmackDown.
Occupy SmackDown.
Give us the breakdown of the storyline. Outline it for us.
Okay. You know, there's been this kind of a feud between Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon.
Yes.
And then you have Daniel Bryan, who's kind of taken the side, sort of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. So they come into the ring, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, with T-shirts that say, yep.
How smart was that?
Whoever came up with it, brilliant.
Yeah, yep.
Brilliant.
Yep.
And they started, they're saying they're going to start the yep movement. Every time Kevin Owens would do something as a promo, Sami Zayn would go, yep, yep. Now, whether the crowd will catch on to that,
They started chanting it.
I think it's going to be great. The yep movement. And then there has been talk, whether it will happen or not, that they're going to have Daniel Bryan kind of turn heel as part of this storyline when they have Randy Orton with Shinsuke Nakamura as his tag partner against Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Special guest referee is Shane McMahon, and the other special guest referee is the GOAT. I mean, that is Daniel Bryan.
Owens said, I love what Owens said. He said, Shane McMahon is the worst of the McMahons, and that's saying something.
Yep.
Shane McMahon, special guest referee for the Clash of Champions match. That should be interesting. I don't know if I'm a fan of it, but...
But with the added special guest referee of Daniel Bryan, I mean, there's going to be two referees in there. So they're setting up something there between Bryan and Shane McMahon to get that little heat between the general manager and the commissioner. Yep.
By the way, there was rumor that Bryan's going to be thinking about making a comeback into the ring.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about him possibly making a comeback.
That's incredible.
Uh-huh.
Because that injury and the way they had made it to be, or at least the way what we had thought it to be, should be career ending. I mean, it's the same injury nearly same injury Edge had.
Uh-huh.
And Edge was done. Edge was
They
cut it completely off. Said no options included here.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting that, I mean, if Daniel Bryan had come back, does he have No, you know what? I'm asking you at the end. Now I'm going to ask you
Yep. And by the way, in our news and rumor segment, there's another wrestler that is dealing with this same type of injury.
Oh,
very
yes.
Serious stuff, and we'll talk about that later.
Kind of interesting. Yeah, we'll get into that. Usos took on Rusev and Aiden.
It's Rusev Day.
Rusev.
Yes. I like it. Every day should be Rusev Day. As long as I get cake.
New Day was on commentary for this match. A lot of side commentary. for these matches here on
SmackDown.
Yeah,
it kind of sets up. Well, it kind of sets up what they're going to be doing with Clash of Champions with that match where they're going to have Rusev, they're going to have Aiden English, they're going to have the Usos, New Day, and is it? No, there's another team involved now.
Yeah. So it's the Usos, it's the New Day, and it's
Gable and Shelton Benjamin. Yeah, yeah. Once again, I mean, you've got half of that that situation that put on one of the best matches of the year in the Usos and the New Day. Gable and Shelton Benjamin are fantastic, and then you're adding Rusev Day with Aiden English singing, you know, it's Rusev Day, bring me some cake. I think this one has the makings of being a very entertaining four-way. And then, you know, sometimes when they do these tag team four-ways, you can tag another any other person. But this time, they have to tag their own partner. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little unusual.
I wonder, so I was watching a match like that from 1999 in Raw. It was Kane, Undertaker, Stone Cold. No, sorry, it's Kane and Mankind, Stone Cold and The Rock. And I can't remember the third tag team. But, the rules were you could tag anybody in the ring you want.
Right.
But wouldn't you just tag your own partner? Because if that other guy pins, I mean, like for example, if Stone Cold tagged
Undertaker.
Yeah, tag. I mean, no. If Stone Cold tagged Kane and Kane came in and pinned The Rock, you just lost your team the match, right? So why don't you just keep tagging your own partner?
No.
Just common sense. I'm sorry. Anyways, let's get back to the match. New Days.
Have none of those.
New Days are on the sideline eating pancakes while watching this match. Pancakes, by the way.
Studio pancakes.
I had some wonderful pancakes at IHOP the other day. So Rusev and Aiden English get the win on Rusev Day.
On Rusev Day. Every day
is Rusev,
Rusev Day.
Rusev Day! Was impressive.
Thank you very much.
Where did that come from?
From my diaphragm.
Vintage Dave Denton. Randy Orton and Shinsuke
Nakamura
coming up on a big match.
How did it end? I mean, did Shane McMahon come in? Did Daniel Bryan come in? Let me just say, I did not see the match, but this is what I see.
Okay.
I see the referee getting knocked down.
Okay.
And then Daniel Bryan putting on the referee's jersey and getting into the ring.
Oh, I hate watching wrestling with you for that very reason. It's so annoying.
Good, baby.
The referee is knocked out. Bryan, he got up from the commentary, removes the referee's shirt.
Honestly, I think that's going to be a great, great match. And I think you're going to see some heat, not necessarily a heel turn, but more heat between Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan. More heat.
So Byron Saxton confronted Daniel Bryan and asked and told him that he felt like he was trying to screw over Randy Orton and Shinsuke
Nakamura. It's all setting up the line. You know, the heel turn. That's what they're setting up.
That's your SmackDown event.
Uh-huh.
As we prep for the final event of the year, pay-per-view, Clash of the Champions. Clash of the Champions. Do you want to do predictions in a little bit? Do you want, at the end of the show, right? Is that what you wanted to do?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Coming back, we're going to talk about Raw. What did Raw have to do? Blue put up a pretty poor showing on SmackDown to prep for their pay-per-view. So could the Raw ratings or the Raw people do any better? You're listening to Dave Denton, Ajay Salveson. This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Is a dangerous man.
One dangerous dude.
But I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Oh, I'm bad. Amazing why.
A plan is no plan.
Because I'm bad. I'm bad. Some more.
Are you kidding me, Chico?
The most dangerous person on the internet is
one dangerous dude.
Yes, he is. Yes, yes, he is.
I'm a bad, bad man. I'm a
Yeah, you're damn right he is.
The WWE has been touring over in the Middle East, and an incredible experience happened for the women's division. Because when you're talking Muslim countries, they usually don't let women wrestle. Well, they did in Dubai. However, because of the Muslim restrictions, it was Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks in the match, but they had to wear head-to-toe covering. So they basically were in head-to-toe spandex when they did the match. It was a very touching experience for one Sasha Banks.
It feels so crazy because I haven't had this feeling, to be honest, in a while. And right before I went out, I just started crying because I just thought how huge this is and how much it's bigger than me. And it was insane. The moment that I walked out there, and the moment the announcer announced that this is going to be a women's match, like, you can hear the crowd care. And the moment I stood out there and I saw little girls, it made everything worth it, because this is what I feel like I was put on this earth to do. I want to make a change in the world. I want to empower women, and I want to let them know that their dreams are endless and they can achieve anything. And for something so big as a day, having the first ever women's match in Abu Dhabi, like, that's crazy, because last year it wasn't allowed, and this year we're doing it, and it's incredible, man. I couldn't hold my emotions in that ring. I was about to cry right when I locked up, and right at the end too. So it's a beautiful day, and I'm still blessed.
I found something early this morning, and it is John Cena before the Library of Congress. He's reading Ferdinand the Bull. Here's John Cena.
Once upon a time in Spain, there was a little bull, and his name was Ferdinand. All the other little bulls he lived with run, jump, and butt their heads together, but not Ferdinand. He liked to just sit quietly and smell the flowers. He had a favorite spot out in the pasture under a cork tree. It was his favorite tree, and he would sit in its shade all day and smell the flowers.
Ferdinand is like very big.
Holy beefaroni, you're ginormous!
More meat and love!
Very strong.
You ready to put those wings to work? Launch!
Oh no.
You shot Maria into the sun. Sorry!
It's time to take out the trap.
You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Hey, joining us on the phone right now is Mr. Zane O'Mac, the Zane O'Mac of professional wrestling, Zane Peterson. Hey, Zane.
Well, my goodness, it's been a while. Would you say it's been a long while or a little while?
I would say it's been a little while, because Zane, even though we are miles apart, we still text each other about every other day. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so isn't there a song about miles apart?
Winger? Does Winger do that?
I think so, probably. Yeah. The model for the place that I live is a song that Dwight Yoakam sings. You know what that is?
No, what's that?
1,000 miles from nowhere.
Oh, yes. Good old Dwight Yoakam. Yeah,
I
used to play that song. Yeah,
yeah. You're a country man.
Yeah, I did country music for several years. So, had the opportunity to meet a lot of the country stars like Garth Brooks, Reba McEntire, Vince Gill, Charlie Daniels. So
you met him?
Big names. Yeah. Yeah, met them, interviewed them, and talked to them, and I had dinner with Charlie Daniels one time.
What? You lucky dog.
Yeah, I am a lucky dog.
So, I guess we got to get to the point. This isn't a Dave catching up with Zane cast. This is a professional wrestling podcast, huh?
Yes, sir.
Dave, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I've been a little bit out of touch lately, so I have a few questions for you that you can help maybe fill in the blanks as we prepare for Sunday.
Well, if there's anything that I know about is blank.
we won't even need to go anywhere close to shooting blanks, really.
That's right.
This is, after all, this is a PG show, right?
Yes, it is, very, very much. So, yes,
just,
we will. Yeah,
just,
we won't.
Just like the modern-day WWE, PG.
Oh, yeah, just like that. So just don't call me Vince,
yes.
Okay?
We're kind of like exactly the same but different.
Whoa, that's deep, man.
So, dude, I need to know a few things. I'm a little confused, okay?
Okay.
That's an interesting statement. That's like an everyday occurrence for me. But
yeah,
let's not even go there. But maybe you can help me with a couple of things that's going on right now. So one thing I wanted to talk to you about is a KO and SZ, Sami Zayn.
Oh man, great storyline going on. You know.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Is what's going on?
Well, Sami saved KO when Shane was going to jump off the top of the off the cage and he was going to land on Kevin, but Sami comes out and pulls Kevin off. So their friendship is renewed. And here's the thing that I think you're going to like. On SmackDown Live this past Tuesday night, Sami and Kevin come out and they have red shirts on them. Both of them, t-shirts, and it says, yep, yep, yep. So every time Kevin, when they're cutting the promo, Kevin makes a statement, Sami goes, yep. And then another statement, another, yep. So at this point, here comes Daniel Bryan. Daniel comes out, and he's in the ring, and he's kind of getting on their case because they've been breaking the rules, you know, trying to do that. And Kevin says they just admire Daniel Bryan so much because he's so fair, and they didn't want to copy him with the yes movement, but they were going to have a yep movement. I laughed out loud at that one. And the shirts, you know, the red shirts that Daniel Bryan had,
yes,
with the yes, yes,
yes,
yes on them. The same script, the same looking everything, but it says yep, yep, yep on it. So this coming Sunday at the pay-per-view, it's going to be Kevin and Sami against Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura in a tag match. Well, Shane McMahon has said that he will be the special guest referee.
Mm-hmm.
Then this past Tuesday, here comes Daniel Bryan saying, well, you know, I want to make sure everything's on the up and up and fair, so I'm appointing myself the second guest referee. Conjecture is that there's going to be a heel turn for Daniel Bryan.
Wait a minute. I've been reading online that I thought it was supposed to be Shane O'Mac that was doing the heel turn.
We'll find out Sunday, huh?
I guess.
Well, if you look at it, as Daniel Bryan has been protecting Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the last few weeks, I think that's where it's going to come from. I told Ajay this, and I'll go ahead and tell you this, the same thing. Here's what I think will happen. The tag match will be going on, and Shinsuke Nakamura will be pinned by Kevin Owens. And then Randy Orton will do the RKO out of nowhere, and he'll be pinning Sami Zayn and your two special guest referees at the same time, 1, 2, 3. So they'll have a double pin, and then Shane and Daniel will start pushing each other and stuff. Make sense?
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Interesting. So that actually, I think it's a really good storyline to get Sami from being a mid-carder up to a higher level.
Well, I've been wondering if they've been playing that right with Sami, you know, if he's going to be a good heel, or if they've been, you know, or because that could go both ways. They could ruin that in a hurry if some of the strange things that WWE does sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
I would agree, except I really like what they've done with Sami as the heel turn. He's not your nasty get in your face, really nasty heel. He still comes out, dances to his music. He still has that smile on his face all the time, but it's one of those kind of almost Joker-esque, you know, like he's going to laugh in your face and then stab you in the back.
Yeah.
So yeah. I kind of like what they've done. They haven't changed his character. They've changed his outlook.
I see.
Yeah.
So what's been going on Raw, dude?
The biggest thing on Raw that has been going on is very interesting with Bray Wyatt and one Matt Hardy. Now, they had a match 2 weeks ago, I think it was, and Bray Wyatt won with the Sister Abigail, and then there's Matt Hardy still sitting in the ring, but in the corner, and all of a sudden he starts doing delete, delete, delete. And he cuts a promo that gets on, I think it was on the internet first, where he says he is woken, not broken, woken. So now they're doing the woken Matt Hardy as he is the same as the broken Matt Hardy in TNA, but they're using woken instead of broken to get around the lawsuits that have been around that.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Genghis Khan. You know how much I kind of dislike the broken Matt Hardy gimmick?
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually excited about this gimmick because you have Bray Wyatt, who's, I think, a great performer. And then you've got Matt Hardy, who's a really good performer, but you have writers now that can bounce ideas off each other and do things better than what was going on just when Matt and Jeff were doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm almost excited about the woken Matt Hardy.
So do you think it's a good thing they'll ruin it?
Well, you know, there is that possibility because you had that Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton fight in that abandoned house, which was pretty bad. And then you also had, you know, you're talking about the same people that did the old day with, you know, the guys from the Bullet Club, that tag team. That was just one of the worst things you've ever seen in your life. So, you know, it all depends on whether they bounce ideas off each other or just get it to one person. But I think your better ideas is to bounce ideas off each other and write a storyline in advance and build up to some kind of big event. But make it, man, do it right.
You know, so what are your feelings, though, with what they've done to, I mean, Bray Wyatt has, I mean, I don't know, maybe this is just my opinion is, I mean, they've completely destroyed his, what little bit of, you know, coolness, is that even a word, he had, you know. I mean, remember when the Wyatt family was first debuting and how creepy and weird and strange and different it was, and then, you know, Bray keeps losing and keeps losing and keeps losing and keeps losing and keeps losing some more after he loses some more. So does this even matter that he's with Matt Hardy?
Well, you know, you're not talking the big main event, but you're talking a middle of the card main event. You're like, I think that's what that's going to happen. If, and once again, I say if the WWE was smart, they would bring in a real life Sister Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you remember a couple of pay-per-views ago, Bray Wyatt was going to fight with Finn Balor?
Mm-hmm.
And he said Sister Abigail was going to be there. And at that point, it was actually Bray Wyatt dressed like Sister Abigail. At that pay-per-view, Bray Wyatt could not wrestle because he had a viral infection. So did Bo Dallas. Yeah, they were all sick. There was a whole bunch of them sick. And then what they did is they brought in AJ Styles
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
I don't. That was one of the best matches. Right now, I would say possibly the match of the year. Bray Wyatt, I mean, AJ Styles against Finn Balor was one terrific wrestling match. I mean, great storytelling, great performances. I loved that one. And if I had to be asked right now, match of the year, that's what I would say.
Really?
But they had to do that at the last minute without even a setup. The only setup was that the fanboys like you and I, knew that Bray Wyatt and AJ Styles were in the Bullet Club in New Japan Wrestling. If you ever get a chance to watch it again, it is incredible.
I remember that was a really good match. So what's going on with AJ right now?
AJ Styles is now this WWE champion, and at the pay-per-view on Sunday night, he will be defending against Jinder Mahal, and the Singh brothers, you know, have come out and said they will now be in AJ's corner because Jinder beat them up after they lost to AJ in a 2-on-1 handicap match.
Oh.
Well, the Singh brothers, who I like to call Lenny and Squiggy because of Somazel, better incorporated. I don't know what they're going to do with that on Sunday night. I really don't know. AJ is a great champion. I mean, he's, you know, but are they going to give it back to Jinder? You know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you there.
So I want to jump back in time for a minute and talk to you about something that's been bothering me for a long time. Was that Survivor Series? That was the last big pay-per-view we had. You know, that AJ versus Brock match. Should AJ have lost to Brock?
I was surprised they didn't have a run-in, you know, either like Braun Strowman runs in or Jinder Mahal runs in to make both of them look good as, you know, both of them winners. I would have preferred having AJ win, but in the long run, when you look at now coming up the road to WrestleMania for what is being rumored for WrestleMania with Strowman and Braun, then, yeah, it made sense. But I would have preferred to have AJ win and then have another match where Brock would have won. To me, that would have been making more sense.
So is Braun Strowman going to take on Lesnar at WrestleMania then, or what's going on?
Yeah, I think that's what they're building up for. You know, it's going to be in New Orleans this year. Right now they're doing the Braun Strowman against Kane. And this past Monday night, they had a match between the two of them, and there was an homage to Brock and The Undertaker. You remember when they wrestled at WrestleMania, where they were both on the mat, flat on the backs, and they both set up and then looked at each other and started laughing. They did that with Kane and Braun Strowman, too.
So how was that match?
Ajay disagrees with me. He thinks that Kane has lost his step. He doesn't like that he's, you know, near 50 years old. I still think he can go. I think he's, you know, he's a pro, and especially in a physical altercation, you know, it's not a high flying. I think Kane does fantastic, and that it's been fun to watch him attack Braun and then Braun attack him. Braun one time did a choke slam and put Kane through the mat. That was a nice little spot. Kind of liking the feud, although I don't like the fact that they're making Braun Strowman more of a face than a heel.
Hmm. So what's going to happen with Kane with Knox County Mayor? Do we know?
You know, they were actually in Knoxville a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, Knox County, he's running for mayor there, Glenn Jacobs is. You know, I just wonder how his opponents approached that because he got this nationwide TV coverage. And he was, you know, he was all over the USA Network, all over that part of the country. It was almost like free advertising for him because unless your head is in the sand, even in Knox County, Tennessee, where they don't have a lot of sand, I bet that probably 90% of the voters know that Glenn Jacobs, who's running for mayor of the county, is also a professional wrestler.
So, speaking of politics, while we're on this subject, you know that I'm try to be fairly involved in politics. I'm not as involved as I was during the election and stuff because I've been really busy lately. But I was listening to a talk radio show on satellite radio. It's called Andrew Wilkow. He's on in the afternoons on satellite radio on Sirius 125, The Patriot. They should give me some advertising money for Turnbuckle Trash, huh? But anyways, he had a guest on the show the other day for about, it was probably a 25 or 30 minute segment, and it was none other than President Donald J. Trump's Small Business Associates, Secretary of Small Business. And do you know who that is?
No, I do not.
Yes, Linda McMahon.
Oh, I forgot that she was in the administration.
Yes. But it was really cool because Andrew talked to her he brought up the WWE and brought up, growing the WWE into a billion-dollar company. And he talked to her about, if people take her serious, and I really ought to see if I could find the interview and send it to you, because it was pretty cool. Because most everybody thinks of the WWE as a laughing stock, if you will, but when you step back and think about it from, which I don't think a lot of podcasts and a lot of people do, and I give us credit for this, is we talk about the business part of things because you're so involved with, in media coverage and things that you've done in your career. And so it was kind of cool to hear her talk a little bit about, the WWE from the business point of view. Anyways.
I'll tell you this right now. Vince McMahon is a brilliant, brilliant businessman. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go back to the time when he bought the then WWF from his father and started saying, hey, this has got potential to go nationwide. Then he took his own money and bankrolled the first WrestleMania. If WrestleMania would have not worked, we would not be talking about the WWE today. They would have went bankrupt.
Yeah.
And we'd still have the territories going on. And then going into the network and doing the USA stuff, and then tribute to the troops and all the public service stuff that they do, all the merchandising. It is a brilliant marketing scheme that is a major business now. And that is the business of professional wrestling. We might complain about it some. Because we don't agree with everything that's going on. You and I are probably a little bit more purist as far as professional wrestling goes.
I've talked many times about, we've mentioned many times, one of my favorite segments was in the latter part of the, Attitude Era / early part of the Ruthless Aggression Era was the Battle of the Billionaires.
Oh, yeah.
And we know who that was with.
Who's also in the WWE Hall of Fame Celebrity Wing.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, along with Pete Rose and Cyndi Lauper, and you look at what happened with that Battle of the Billionaires, and you're talking two men, whether you agree with them or not, that were built brilliant businessmen, saw the opportunity and ran with it.
Yeah.
And how much publicity did both of them get for their individual businesses at the time?
Yeah.
From just free publicity, because it was all over the news, all over the news.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought that was a great, great
great story that back then. You know, and how come we don't see stuff like that anymore, Dave?
Because of the success of the WWE, and now it's a corporation, and they have to talk, they have to go to shareholders, and they have a board of directors, and they don't want to rock the boat anymore. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
I think you'll see things like that with maybe some celebrities and some of the other more creative things in some of the smaller promotions.
Speaking of smaller promotions, one smaller promotion that's making a lot of headlines lately, and I think could potentially be a force to be reckoned with in the near future, that I would like to talk to you about real quick, is NWA.